Today, we are doing an episode, a classics review.
Hello, this is Go Home Heat,
doing, a
Ray's music review.
They're doing, we are doing a classics review of Alice in Chains.
Of Alice in Chains Dirt.
I like dirt, I like dirt.
Thank you.
I like dirt, I like dirt.
Someone had to do it. It was Kev. If it wasn't going to be Kev, it was going to be me.
Why would you reference that up? Would you reference it? You gave it a 6. Why would you reference
it? It's nice and simple, though.
But it came out in 1993, around the grunge movement. I picked this album mostly because, like, me and Dad were talking about doing, like a grunge album specifically. Of course, we brought up Nirvana and all that, and I brought up this album mainly because I feel like this album can tend to be thrown under the bus, especially in, like, online places such as, like, Rate Your Music and places like that, where they just kind of forget this album.
Did they say something bad about it?
No, they just forget.
Just underappreciated.
Well, they better not say something bad about it.
No one says anything.
Who? Who said something bad about
it? The reviews I see of it are usually positive.
I want to talk to them.
Are usually, like, at least...
Turn your location on. Like, I just want to talk.
The one criticism I've seen of this album sometimes are Lane's vocals.
It's too pleasant.
Which is weird.
I mean, I have some criticism of it, but... Lane's vocals? That's like... That's weird, man. That's like criticizing Pearl Jam for its vocals. It's like, bro, that's the whole point. The fact that Eddie Vedder sounds like that is the point.
Correct. And I get where if you don't like... Like many bands we talked about, if you don't like guys' vocals, it's hard to like the band. But Lane's voice, it like makes two sounds at once. It's its own harmony. He is...
And then when Jerry comes on, like Dad said this, and then when Jerry comes on, it sounds like three melodies when it's really just two people.
It's crazy what Lane's able to do. And Jerry's just as good a singer as he is.
Especially seen in Damn That River.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's the pre-chorus.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about...
Yeah, should we... Was this album pretty big?
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, you got to remember now, Alice and Soundgarden kind of come out before... Smells Like Teen Spirit hits.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of the primer for people to understand that something's coming. And then Smells Like Teen Spirit hits and the Seattle sound is a thing. And then, of course, Alive comes on the heels of that. And then, okay, we're going to put out second albums. And this, man, I want to say this was the first second album of the Big Four. And you got, and the movie Singles comes out and Wood is on it and it's a big hit and it's actually... Wood is actually a tribute to
Andrew Wood.
Andrew Wood, who was the singer of Mother Love Bone, and if you haven't heard that, which is Pearl Jam prior to Eddie Vedder joining the band, he ODs. Mm-hmm. I think he was Chris Cornell's roommate when he OD'd. And the what heroin took from us in this one city is crazy. But
and
that's
seen a lot in this album.
Well, you got two members that played on this album died from overdoses. Lane and Mike.
Lane only lived like 12 years after this.
Dude, it's like I said, but then, you know, we've already lost Andy by that time. Kurt winds up taking his own life. Chris Cornell winds up taking his own life. But anyway, okay. It hits and then Down in a Hole is a big hit. Angry Chair is a big hit for him. So this is a big hit, but it's not A Smells Like Teen Spirit Alive where everybody's going to be willing to embrace it because it is dark content. You know what I mean?
All right. Should we get into the questions or?
Sure. Go ahead.
How would you feel about the opener?
Wow.
One of the best songs on the album.
Are you kidding me?
Probably one of my favorite openers ever.
Yeah. Good tone.
Honestly,
tone center.
To me, it's up there with like Welcome to the Jungle.
It starts with a scream echoing.
And the solo, it sounds like planes.
Yeah, it does. Sounds like fighter planes. That's
the
right.
The song's brevity is so...
It's so well put together with Damn That River, too. It's almost like an intro to Damn That River, but it's not. It's boom.
It feels like its own song, but it also flows into Damn That River really well.
Absolutely.
How it stops, and then Damn That River just starts off with the... And it all... kind of works in its own way, and especially like after Damn That River, how it transitions into the like the grungy ballad, where it all kind of, it all flows, even if it's different consistencies, it all flows together. How do you feel about the closer, Wood?
I mean, that's, dude, it don't get much better than Wood.
One of my favorite closers.
Good way to end the album.
If you're going to write it, if you're going...
One of my favorite closers ever. If it's just, I love how, and this song, like, I think it should be talked to death. And I feel like a lot of people have heard this song. But my one of my favorite points is how the "if I would, could you" at the end, how it all just comes, kind of comes to this sudden halt.
I completely agree. And if you're going to, first of all, if you're going to tribute a song to somebody, it's pretty good that it's a great song. But also, you have five songs before that that take you through the journey of addiction, and then they end it with that, right? And I just woof. Now that being said, it ain't exactly hopeful once you're going through that trip. You know, we'll probably get to that in the other questions.
Yes. Favorite and least favorite song. My favorites off of this would be Them Bones, Damn That River, Rain When I Die, Godsmack, Angry... I'm
gonna name... literally half the album.
I'm gonna name, like, the whole thing.
I get it,
Like, everything except for, like, the interlude. So, yeah.
How do I put it? When I listen to this album, like, I don't dive into this much. Remember how last week I said I can't rate something above like an 8 if it doesn't put me, like, if I need to be in the mood for it, right? So whatever I put in needs to be able to change my mood. I can't listen to this as much because it's so of a mood. Right, it takes you into the throes of addiction. It takes you into these journeys. So, like, I may pick out a song here and there, but to go through the whole thing is quite a journey for somebody that has had issues with addiction themselves anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I listen to it over and over, I do come away with songs that I like. Like, I've never thought Hate to Feel was my favorite song on this record. And then when I listened to it this time, it really got me, and it really...
It's almost like there's a war happening within the song.
There are five different songs going on top of themselves, and the percussion in this record, along with the bass playing in this record, sets the tone. Like, it's really incredible. Like, sometimes it get... I can't explain what some of these songs do to me. It's amazing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't have a worse song. Really. I don't particularly care for the untitled thing, but
if I were to go for a deep cut, my favorite deep cut might be Godsmack.
Dude.
Just because of just.
I get it.
Especially the end line, where what is it? And God's name is Smack to Some.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a damning line.
Right. Well, that separate journey they take you on after the Ode to the Father on Rooster. From Junkhead down, you know, Junkhead is the I know I have a substance abuse problem, but it doesn't bother me because I can pay my rent and I'm all good.
We're gonna talk about the songwriting later on.
I'm sorry.
I know.
What were you going to say? Best and worst, Jared?
I liked Sick Man, and I did not like Godsmack because of the band.
What?
The band Godsmack,
Oh. Did it?
No, just Alice in Chains. I hate Alice in Chains. That's why I hate this song now. No.
The actual band Godsmack gets on your nerves.
Yeah.
I get it.
Godsmack are actually very fluent in ripping off Alice in Chains in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, they ripped off the logo too. Quite a bit in this album.
They ripped off the logo too. If you didn't know that.
Yeah, you showed me that one time.
Yeah. My least favorite's definitely the interlude. It's just out of everything, like, there's golden, and then the interlude, golden. You know? How did you feel about Lane's vocals?
He's a force of nature.
They're good.
It's like a train.
He's amazing. To think that Lane, Chris, Eddie, and Kurt came out of the same city at the same time is really...
Yeah.
I don't know what was in the water.
And Andy Wood before them. And he was a fantastic frontman too, you know? So it's just amazing what came out of that.
And also, before we get into the Jerry Controls songwriting, I want to say something about Wood because I forgot. I think Wood, it's so weird because to me, it kind of embodies the sound of familiarity.
Oh, wow.
And like that, like, it's hard to, the first guitar line where it's really smoky and good, like, even when I haven't heard that song before, it felt like, oh, I'm in a place where I was, but I don't quite remember it. And that's just incredible to me.
Yeah, to be able to do that through tunes, is that's an amazing thing.
How'd you feel about Jerry Cantrell's songwriting? I think...
Y'all go first.
Okay. Dad told me, and this this was like a year ago. Dad told me that... I was saying, God, I really like this album. And Dad said, well, it's basically a rock opera about Jerry Cantrell's dad going to Vietnam.
Well, that's part of it. And a lot of the songs can do both things, right? And that's
especially like Junkhead, where it's like, what's my drug of choice? Whether it's the drug Stanley chose, which was actual drugs, or the drugs that Cantrell's dad chose, which was war.
Or Damn That River can obviously be that. Down in a Hole can obviously be that. You know, obviously, yeah. There's multiple meanings. In the second half of it, there's a lot of, with Jerry too, a lot of what feels like Lane is this man who has all these issues, and as I observe him, I have content to write about. You know what I mean? Which is interesting and all those other things, right?
Of course.
What did you think, Jerry?
I thought it was good. I mean, I'm going to be straight up honest. I like this album probably a lot less than you guys. It just didn't wow me in a lot of ways, but it was all good.
Okay, well, why enjoyable. Not?
Well, I mean, we can talk about that at the end, because it's not so much the songwriting for me. The songwriting's... It's occasionally, I really, really like it. Like, there'll be spots where I'm like, dude, that line was dope, and the delivery of it was awesome. And other times, I feel like maybe it's a bit sparse.
One thing I will say is the loneliness is not a phase line from Angry Chair. That line kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, this probably wasn't that bad when it started, but yeesh. You know?
It's like if they sang, like, we live in a society, I'd be like, man, I'd be rolling my eyes right now. But in, yeah, you know, that's just how funny how that works.
I guess that's it. Jared, talk about your criticisms.
I listened to this album a bunch, and every time I would listen to it, I ended up, even if I'm literally looking at the lyrics, I'd just kind of drift off and just, like, stop paying attention. I feel like I've heard so much, and this may be a big part of it, where I've heard so much of the stuff that came after this that was way worse, that my mind just kind of automatically tunes out a lot of this style of music. Like, I hate Godsmack. And I don't know, man, but, like, so much of this album just kind of blends together for me in a way that, like, I don't remember the second half of the album. Like, I would not be able to differentiate between chunks of the second half of the album. It just sounds so similar to me. And with the lyrical content being very similar as well, there's just chunks of this album where I just don't remember it very well. And I really like the parts that I like Them Bones, Sick Man, Rooster, phenomenal songs. I really enjoy those. I get them stuck in my head, but there's just chunks of the rest of the album that just did not do it for me for whatever reason.
I guess.
Well, what did you think about it, though?
I thought it was great. This is probably my favorite Alice in Chains album. Either that, Dad, you really like Jar of Flies.
I love Jar of Flies. And Jar of Flies is an album that, as I get older, is easier for me to listen to than this, because it doesn't create those insecurities in my head that this album can do sometimes, which is just different, you know, things that I deal with that, you know, some other people probably don't. But you were going to add on to that?
I don't know, man. This album's a trip.
Well, talk about what you like.
How do I rate it out of 10? I really... 9?
7?
I feel like you were being generous with a 7.
No. Again, like,
I think the highs are high.
The bits in it are really good, and, like, a lot of it's, in general, really good. It just... It's, like, your thing with, like, rating an 8 out of 10. You have to, like, you have to be in the mood to listen to it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely true of this album, though.
Right, absolutely.
So I like a 7's a pretty good choice.
Right, for me, this thing hits.
Yeah, like, I mean, like
it punches all the buttons. Everything. But I get it if it does. But the, my, to me, this record, Mike's playing on bass is crazy. The way he's able to drive the when you think of concepts, addiction and war, there aren't many concepts more dirty than those. And then the way they use the percussion to give you the feeling of uncertainty and insecurities and all of that, along with the lyrics, along with Lane, that's the inherent creepiness of what Lane does in general by the way he sings. And the fact that you can have 3 or 4 different melodies going at one time. And there are times when you hear, like, there are times when there, it seems like there are 3 songs going on at once, and there are times when there's just a melody that cuts into another song and then comes back to this one. And to be able to do that and have it feel seamless and not out of place, I love this record. I can't think of, like, it's like a 10 for me.
Yeah, so...
But I also think that it's entirely cool that people can... get so much out of art and somebody else.
I put this in a bunch. I kind of put this in like a bucket of albums I have, like, from a 9.5 to a 10, mainly because basically feeling on how I feel on the interlude, the specific Untitled.
Right.
Sometimes I'm fine with that. Sometimes I'm not.
Where was the Untitled in the album? Because there wasn't an Untitled in my track list.
Iron Gland.
Iron Gland was.
Oh.
Untitled on like Spotify or something, but it's just
it's 54 seconds.
And it's
that,
like
that might explain
it's
it.
It's a peculiar thing where he doesn't say Iron Man, he says Iron Gland, and there's noise around
that's
it.
That's what that is? I thought that was really weird. It was not very good.
Right. It doesn't need to be there. Right.
No.
Right.
No, I thought some of the songs have like extended endings a little bit, so I guess I just figured that was part of the previous song.
Right.
I don't know. or that was an extended intro to the next song. Okay.
Okay.
Next episode, we are restarting our Blank's Favorites, our Favorites series. Mainly because I feel like this was really fun, and I feel like we need to end 2020 on something that's even, like, a little bit positive in a way.
So we're going to dive into a metal political album.
Hold on. We haven't announced it yet. I also feel like we've been giving out a lot of 10s as of late, so...
I'm going to give out another one. Tossing them out.
Yeah, this is one of Kev's favorites.
Like cherries.
So. This is KP's favorites, Living Color Vivid.
What's your favorite color, baby? Living color.
We've been giving out lots of 10s. So after this one, I'm going to lowball just a terrible album.
Yes, yes. We're going to just pick some crap.
But no, I've heard this album is quite good.
Yes,
from Dad specifically. I've heard this album. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Virtuosos in a band together.
Dude, what's better than that?
All right,
a
now
metal
band
on. With a gospel singer.
That kind of rules.
That likes reggae.
Yeah, that's a really good.
You had me at hello. Yes.
Honestly, that's a really good concept.
Okay, what did we listen to this week?
Okay, this is going to be strange for me. I'm going to start off first. This is going to be really unique for me, but I tried out Childish Gambino's because of the internet.
Right.
Because it recently had its 7-year anniversary.
Dude, it's been 7 years? I am old.
I know how you feel.
I'm like a whole 24 now. Oh my gosh. How was it, though?
It's good. I mainly appreciated its ambition.
Yeah.
More. Sometimes the beats were stale, and if you don't like 3005, you're a square.
That no, you're straight. That's how I felt about the album too when it came out and people were really excited about it. I never really got into the other media that came out with it, like
the screenplay.
Yeah, like oh, the screenplay. I did not have time for that. I did not have time for that. I just listened to the album and it was pretty good.
Like there was a movie Dune, which they're redoing, I think, of the concept of it. And like when you bought your ticket, they gave you a booklet to read.
No, this has become a movie podcast because did you see the 1984 David Lynch directed Dune in theaters?
Yeah.
That rules, man.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I've been reading the books again because I'm getting ready for the new one.
Right.
The new one's directed by the guy who directed Blade Runner.
Right. Sting.
Sting.
That one. Sting's in it. Sting's one of the stars of the movie. The police Sting.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking.
Not Steve Borden.
Not Surfer Sting.
No.
The movie would have
Crow been, Sting either or Joker Sting.
The movie would have been improved with a
presence. Don't stand so close to me, Sting. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes the beats are a little stale, but that's not my only real problem. Like, I really like... I really like the singles, specifically Sweatpants in 2005.
Sweatpants does rule.
Mainly, as they do in general.
I mainly like 2005...
Unless you've got a Versace jeans shirt on.
Because I'm infatuated by the fact that the beat is annoying until Childish Gambino shows up.
Yeah. Gambino is one of those guys that I'm always looking forward to his next project.
Yeah, Glover...
Even if project comes out and I'm not, like, thrilled by it, I'm always like, dude...
Tell me this, though. Has he ever hit a home run for you?
Redbone,
yeah.
Redbone's one... Dude, straight
Redbone's
up...
Redbone's great.
Redbone... Would you put Redbone as one of the best R&B songs? Of the 2010s.
Oh yeah. Of the 2010s. Oh, absolutely. I guess I don't listen to a whole lot of R&B, but it is easily the best one.
He's a multimedia guy. You ever seen Atlanta?
I have not.
It's amazing.
I've heard it's incredibly good.
It's amazing, and his little counterparts in it are really good too. Go ahead.
My favorite part of Donald Glover, at least as a rapper, has always been his ambition.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Always swinging.
Always. He came out with this, and then next was Awaken My Love, which was an R&B concept album about... it's crazy.
Dude, songs off that album, like Me and Your Mama, dude, that album rules. I really like that album.
Yeah, I also listened to Tool's Opiate.
We purchased that at...
At Revolver Records.
Don't you dare!
Hey, he told us to say it. He told us to say it. Revolver Records... on 12th Avenue, Pensacola, Florida. It's a fantastic spot. We go there on Fridays. You all know that. He scored Opiate.
It was like $7.
Hoping to go
$8.
LIVE from there soon.
We'll see.
Maybe recorded live. Like a live action drama.
We are not live streaming there.
That's why I said recorded live.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just like a live album, they don't get their instruments.
You're afraid you're going to drop some heat on there?
No, I'm not going to. No.
Yeah, you afraid?
No.
You drop some heat on there?
No.
Tell somebody what for? What have now?
No.
Not?
No.
Dutzed?
No. No.
Talk about American football?
Yes.
Talk about America?
Talk about Weezer?
Football. Okay, now what else did you listen to?
No, I was going to talk more about Tool, about Opiate.
Go ahead.
It's vicious. It is, and I thought Undertow was really vicious, it has some moments that have aged pretty poorly, like the anti-censorship song.
Yeah.
But other than that, like.
Dude, I remember my buddy in college came storming in my apartment after he bought that, like, it was an EP, you know what I mean? Nobody knew who they were and all that. His eyes, JBM, Jam Band Mike, rolled in. You got to hear this, man. It's a crusher. He wasn't lying. And they never did. We talked about this yesterday. They've never made a mistake.
No.
They literally have just done great work.
Their biggest positive was that Maynard kind of understood that a lot of prog outfits take themselves too seriously. So he didn't. And then they took hard psychedelic drugs and then took themselves seriously and then they made frickin' Schism.
And math rock.
Hard to argue with the results.
Like,
they're great. They are great. And two, when he wants to experiment outside of that, they go do different projects and come back and do Tool together, which is smart. I like bands that do venture, but I also like it when they do this too.
I mean, you gotta have the spark. You can't just as soon as you feel obligated to make music, that's kind of when things fall apart.
Right. Unless you just happen to naturally make music all the time, which some people do.
Yeah, every Tool album is someone's favorite Tool album. Like,
correct.
That's... I also... Just mainly stuff I got from the record store, like Arctic Monkeys Humbug. It's... I like it more now. It grew on me. Even though I did really like it before, it was produced by Josh Homme of Queens in the Stone Age, which is why it's a lot more stoner rock. It's really good.
It's amazing the effect that a producer has on music.
Oh yeah.
I finally realized that when the new Carly Rae Jepsen album came out, and there was a song where I was like, okay, this is literally the guy from Bleachers. He made this song. I know he did.
Right.
And I looked it up, and he was. Oh, dude, what's that guy's name from Bleachers?
I don't remember.
He's from something else as well. Bleachers is pretty good. But yeah, I literally heard that song on CRJ album, and I was like, dude, yeah. I could pinpoint it perfectly.
Right.
That's when I realized how much a producer affects the outcome of a song.
Right. Well, when they hire Rick Rubin and he rolls in and it's just better than
it
was going to be.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. And I also listen to, I really hope we do a review of this someday, American Football self-titled. it's just so great. I mean, it's so comfortable and like, It's even like hypnotic at points. I've had Honestly stuck in my head for Honestly the song stuck in my head for about a day now.
I just thought you were just being truthful.
Honestly? Honestly. Or truthful?
Yeah.
Honest truthful.
Yes.
No one.
Chocolate Conquistadors. Bad bad not good. MF Doom.
Yeah, it's
we listened to that yesterday. It was great. Starts out talking in Spanish, kind of smooth, and then he lays it down with a rap, and then it turns into a jazz record all over the course of 6 minutes. Mm. It's so good. You liked it. Come on, admit it.
I liked it.
The old timer turned you on to something.
I never thought it. How is old that? Timer. That's not an old song.
I'm an old timer, though.
It's literally for the Grand Theft Auto online soundtrack.
No, what he's
saying, I used
that
a cane to get in the car. I'm an old timer.
He's an old timer. He's an old head.
Old head. Yes. Yes. We listened to Aquemini yesterday.
Aquemini.
Which is awesome.
Again.
Great. Listen to No One Sings Like You Anymore, which is in 2016, Chris Cornell finished a covers album that had Joplin on it and
Janis?
Well, he recorded a song by her. A song by ELO, a song by Guns N' Roses, a song by Prince, a song by John Lennon. My favorite Lennon song is Wheels Go Round and Round, and he put it on here. My other favorite Lennon song is Jealous Guy, but only when people other than Lennon sing it, which is a strange thing. But he puts Patience, Nothing Compares to You, and Wheels Go Round in a row, so he kind of had me right there.
Wait,
I enjoyed it.
We can do just songs? Like on what we do, I don't know. I
mean, no, I'm describing the whole album.
Oh, sorry. You were talking about a song though, right?
The whole talked about the whole album.
Well, you were talking
I'm
about
done.
A song before.
That's all I listened to. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up.
I mean, you could bring it up.
I liked
it's
it.
Fine.
Though.
It's all right.
So I brought it up. What'd you listen to, Jerry?
I didn't know.
Not much, honestly. It was just not a popular week for music for me, honestly.
Okay.
I listened to a little more Sawayama from Rina Sawayama.
Didn't the new Kid Cudi come out?
The new Kid Cudi came out, and I have not gotten the chance to listen to it because I ended up being really busy yesterday with work. But I hear people like it.
Did you listen to Christmas music at work?
Oh, God, unfortunately. Nice. Oh, I actually have a couple stories about Christmas music. Me and my friend went into Books A Million a while back, and we heard what was possibly the worst Christmas song I've ever heard in my whole life. And I wish to God I could remember what song it was. It was a cover of like a classic Christmas song, but it was sounded like it was just the world's worst jazz lounge singer doing a rendition of it. I was transported to a time and place in like a rundown jazz lounge
where with the guy that never made it is drunk and mad about never making it.
No, like the owner's son. It was quite possibly the absolute worst Christmas song I have ever heard in my whole life. I turned to my friend, and we both had this look, this moment of realization where it's like, what the heck is this? It took us both out of the moment in the conversation that we were having, and we were like, literally, what is going on?
Dude.
Who is this? Who made this?
I will leave the names out of this, but I actually worked in a bar one time where the owner's little brother moved to the town, and like he was like, he literally had a evening with me night where it was him, an acoustic guitar in a tux, and it was crazy to just roll in, and I'm having a night where I'm the singing entertainment because I'm the owner's brother. Whoa. What's oh my god, it was amazing.
Also they remixed Black
Sabbath. Hilarity ensued.
They remixed a Black Sabbath song. It was Tomorrow's Dream. It was one that they Black Sabbath song.
Who?
It's off of it just says 2021 remaster. That's all it says.
Who is remixing what?
Wait.
Black Sabbath remixed a Black Sabbath song.
Oh, okay.
Remastered. I said remix.
Said remix, and you had Tool's page up, so that's why I was confused, because I was like, Tool
remixed Black Sabbath.
That
boom!
That's what I thought.
Had me.
That's the connection I was making, and I was like, that sounds like it would be pretty good, actually.
Find the loudspeakers. Let's blare this in the parking lot.
But, I was interested in it, because Volume 4 is arguably my favorite Sabbath album.
Mob Rules.
No.
If you listen to Fools, the Mob Rules.
Mob Rules is my favorite. I guess I haven't listened to that much Black
You're
Sabbath.
You're a Dio guy.
But I'm a Dio guy, is the thing.
Absolutely, so, I get it.
Mob Rules, freaking rules.
It's awesome, yeah.
No comment.
The Sabbath Sign of the Southern Cross, baby?
Sabbath doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Dude, that album rules. I'm going to listen to that this week.
Worship the Dark Lord.
No comment.
Hail Satan.
No comment.
We've talked about the concept of Sabbath, right? Where they got that from?
No. I mean, a Black Sabbath has to be involved in some kind of witchcraft.
They were recording across the street from a movie theater, and people were going to see horror movies across the street, one of which was actually entitled Black Sabbath. And I want to say that Butler said to Geezer Butler, Geezer Butler said to Ozzy, if people will pay to get scared in that way, you think they'd pay to get scared in records? And it just kind of fit what Tony Iommi does anyway with the guitar and Ozzy's voice, and that turned into Butler writing these really incredible lyrics that Ozzy would sing. So there you go.
No, absolutely. Horror is.
And I'm not advocating worshiping the Dark Lord, by the way, guys. That was a joke. I was kidding.
Do what you want. Do or don't. It doesn't matter.
But leave the goats alone.
It doesn't matter because he approaches anyways.
Oh my God. Is that a wrap?
That's a wrap.
Okay.
For Jared, me, for
Basket Case Jared.
Oh.
For Green Day, Stan, Jared.
Flop, Green Day outsold.
Right. For me, KP.
For
Hyperpop, KP.
Hyperpop, KP.
Yes.
What genre are you? Midwest emo Ray.
For Midwest emo Ray.
For American football Ray.
This has been a Go Home Eat production, copyright 2020.
Go home.